please stand for the reading of the gospel? But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again?" Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all of this to the 11 and to all of the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them to be an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen clothes by themselves, and he went home amazed at what had happened. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you. You may be seated. Easter is always the hardest sermon because we've all heard the story and it needs to be new. Well, back in the 1970s, Ben Cohen was a young adult who found himself sort of stuck in a rut. Ben had dropped out of multiple colleges and was trying his hand at artwork, and he wasn't making a very good go at it. His friend Jerry Greenfield was sort of having the same experience. He had applied to medical school twice, but had been rejected both times. Well, one day, these friends got together in their garage, and they were talking about their situation, when one of them said, half joking, "Why don't we open up an ice cream shop?" They scraped together $12,000 and paid $5 for a correspondence course from a local college on how to make ice cream. And the first Ben and Jerry's was opened up in an old gas station, and they set out to do things differently. Because Ben had diminished taste and smell, he added big chunks of brownies, chocolate chips, and cookies, and this helped him to experience the flavors more, all of the chunks of goodies that was in it. They called their flavors fun things, like Cherry Garcia, which was one of the biggest sellers for decades, and Chunky Monkey, and a whole other things. I'm actually getting a little hungry now. It was a hit from the very beginning. We should have handed out Ben and Jerry's today. Ben and Jerry's still makes their ice cream in Vermont, and over the decades, they've grown into an international company with many locations. As their company grew and became successful, Ben and Jerry began to ask more what ifs. What if we paid our employees fairly? What if we used our position in the marketplace to advocate for justice concerns? And even after the company was sold to Unilever, Ben and Jerry's has still been able to advocate for social causes, all because Ben and Jerry ask, what if we opened up an ice cream shop? Speaking of what if, Billy and I were living in Waldo in Kansas City about 8 or 9 months ago working corporate jobs. Billy was working senior living, and I was the director of a funeral department at a large church in Kansas City. And we both felt like, you know, life wasn't where it needed to be. We felt ran ragged. And so one day in August, I asked, you know, what if I emailed the district superintendent? What if I asked for maybe there was a church maybe next summer when appointments come around? The district superintendent quickly emailed me back and invited me to her office for a meeting. And, well, she said there were a few churches open right now, and one of them was particularly would be welcoming of Billy and I. She couldn't release any top secret details yet, but I'd have to wait, and we waited for 2 months, and I got a call. "Michael, we have a church for you. It's Broadway in Plattsburgh." Billy and I didn't know how to get here, but we were excited. We married December 2nd. We got here the next week. The timing could not have been more perfect because we asked, what if? What if we asked the DS for a church? Asking what if takes center stage this morning on Easter Sunday. The scripture tells us that a group of women went to Jesus' tomb. It was early on Sunday morning, 3 days after he'd been crucified. Their task of the women was to anoint Jesus' body with spices and to mitigate the smell of death. A week ago, Jesus entered Jerusalem with a parade fit for a king, with palm branches were being waved as a tribute to Jesus as the King of Kings, and shouts of Hosanna as Jesus rode in on a donkey. By the end of the week, he was tried by the Romans, nailed on a cross with two criminals. This was a very common form of execution in Jesus' day. It was humiliating, embarrassing, and it was a deterrent. When Jesus died, a man named Joseph of Arimathea took Jesus' body, wrapped it in cloth, laid it in a tomb, and no doubt many what-ifs were spoken that morning, that weekend. What if everything that Jesus taught us has been lost? What if the disciples, at least if I was one of the disciples, I would have been asking, what if we left our careers, our reputations, our families for this some failed movement? What if all this was a mistake? What if the Roman government who came for Jesus is now going to come for each of us? I think these were valid questions that would have been asked by the disciples in those hours after Jesus' death. These were the kinds of questions that Jesus' disciples must have been asking into Sunday morning, only to find it gets worse. Verse 2 says they got there to find the stone had been rolled away, a massive stone. How in the world could that happen? And then what if the women, give it to the women, they were brave enough to look inside. I would have ran for the hills. They looked inside, and it gets worse. They didn't find a body. Look, God forbid, what if it was stolen? The scripture explains the women were perplexed. I think that was a kind way to put it. They were terrified. They bowed their faces to the ground. And just then, two angelic figures, our scripture says, appeared. And it says, why do you look for the living among the dead? He isn't here, but he's risen. They ask, don't you remember? I mean, have you ever had something in your life that was so traumatic that you really, that you remember it, but you don't remember it? You know, like a surgery or a traumatic injury or a traumatic situation or a loss. You know, there are some details you just don't remember. Somebody has to remind you that you were there. I think our minds do us a favor sometimes, and I think this is probably what happened for the disciples. These brave women had been there the whole time. Surely they saw Jesus carry his cross in the streets of Jerusalem. Surely they saw Jesus crucified and suffer on the cross. Surely they saw Joseph of Arimathea take Jesus' body down from the cross. They probably witnessed the body be put into the tomb. They were there, but in the shock of it all, they just couldn't take it all in. It was traumatic. They needed to be reminded. These angelic men told them again, remember how Jesus told you when you were with him in Galilee? That the Son of Man will be turned over to sinners and crucified and on the third day rise again? And it was here they remembered. They ran to tell the 11 disciples what they had seen. I mean, don't you think they were probably wondering, what if they don't believe us? And they didn't. Who would believe such a thing? I mean, that a massive stone would be rolled away, that Jesus' body was gone, as he said. All of this was unbelievable to the disciples, who were locked in fear and disbelief. In fact, they accused the women of lying. They thought it was an idle tale. Peter thought, what if this could be true? What if this is not all just some cruel joke, or what if... what the women are saying are true? They seem to be very emotionally vested in all of this. And so he got up, ran to the tomb, looked inside it, and sure enough, he saw the linen wrappings unraveled, just lying there, and he went home amazed at what had happened. Yep, asking what if is the name of the game on Easter Sunday. You see, the story of Jesus' death and resurrection is told in all four Gospels, but there's a few subtle differences, and the main one is how Luke, we read his account today, how Luke pays so much attention to the role of the women in telling the story. The women are the first ones on the scene. The women are the ones who are going to do the hard, dirty work of caring for Jesus' body. The women were the ones who carried the good news. The first ministers were women of the Gospels. They dared to ask, what if this is true? This is where I like to point out that Mary Magdalene, Jesus' bestie, as I said with the kids, she was the first minister to share the good news of the resurrection. Even though they knew the scriptures and Jesus' teachings, they still had to wonder, what if this is too good to be true? You see, it would have been just as hard for them to believe that day as it is for us 2,000 years later. They had seen Jesus hang on the cross and cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? They experienced the bloodshed and felt the ground shake when he died. They felt all of these what ifs, like what is going to happen now to all of this? They cared for his body. They probably saw the stone rolled into place. And, you know, they saw this with their very eyes. And that's why all of this was so baffling for them. And that's the second thing you notice in today's passage. There's no joy in it yet. There's just confusion. There's disbelief. There's sheer horror. What if? What if? What if? That's all they had. And so on this Easter Sunday morning in 2025, we come here with a bunch of what ifs of our own. Life is full of what ifs, and it's not the fun what ifs that turn into ice cream. The what ifs that we've been asking here lately have been tough ones. What if this thing they found is cancer? What if it's a bigger deal than I thought? What if I made the wrong decision or said the wrong thing or did something that I regret? What if I get laid off or I don't have money enough for retirement? What if I don't get over this grief or trauma or pain? What if this doesn't turn out? What if I made the wrong decision? What if? What if? What if? Sound familiar? We have a bunch of what ifs. We come here today carrying 1,000 questions about our health, our families, our relationships, our finances, our country, our future. And like the women in our scripture today, the what ifs that we often ask make us feel confused, anxious, sometimes sad. And we dwell in these feelings not just for hours and days, like the journey to the tomb, but many times our what ifs, they last for weeks and months and years. And so I just want to acknowledge today that if this has been hard to find joy this Easter, I want to tell you that it's okay. It's not okay that you're going through this, but you're okay in God's eyes. And it's okay at times if our what ifs outweigh all the answers, because therein is where our faith is born. It's in the darkness that we can see the light of Christ. You see, this was what was happening early on Easter Sunday morning. Early enough, there were no answers. Early enough, they were shocked and terrified. And it wasn't until they started wondering what happened, in the words of verse 12, or I may say, it wasn't until they started asking questions and being persuaded with all sorts of heavenly bells and whistles that the women broke through their grief and their horror, and they were able to actually remember. They remembered the things that Jesus said in Galilee. I'm pretty sure, though, it did not take away the pain of his absence. You see, they were some of his closest friends. And just because Jesus had fulfilled his prophecies and risen at the right hand of God in heaven would not take away their pain of missing him. All of these what ifs, you know, still, they were somehow able to find hope in this radical idea that death has been swallowed up in victory. And as their guts reacted, as they began to regain their senses in all of this, they began to see the resurrected Christ in their midst popping up every which way and sideways next few weeks. The thing about the what ifs the disciples ask is that it led to the empty tomb. You see, they would still miss him and grieve his absence and the horrible, unjust way that he died. but they would remember that the body of the Christ is in the world because we follow his teachings and we follow his example, which is when we love as God loves, and that's far more perfect and beautiful than we humans could ever do. I believe that Jesus is the ultimate way to live and love, the way of humility, the way of hope and healing, the way of justice and mercy for those cast aside in this world. I believe that the resurrection happened, and whatever happened that day, I think the gospel writers thought this was so darn amazing that they went to all the trouble of writing it down in a time when recording things was so difficult. They knew something happened that was life-changing and real, that they wanted the legacy that for eons for us to know this, and something happened. Now, there's a lot of what-ifs about it. But whatever it was big. And it's reminded us for eons, Christians around the world, that even in our broken world, even in our troubles, even in our joys and distractions, in our misunderstandings, and even in our pain, it can be triumphed when we follow the ways of Jesus. Now, this does not mean that our pain will go away. Sometimes it doesn't in this life. But I think that sometimes our pain can be transformed and morphed into goodness and empathy that leads to healing in powerful ways. This is how agencies and nonprofits and mission things get started. When people go through pain and it morphs somehow by a miracle into something really wonderful. But you see, the what-ifs of Easter are not just for challenging times. Sometimes what-ifs draw us deeper into a relationship with God and with each other. For example, what if groups and people and agencies worked together more for good news and justice, just like the women and the disciples banded together to go to the empty tomb? Our church is dreaming what if. What if we build a successful children's ministry? We have a dream for a parents' night out, ministry that we're wanting to form and to do that for our community once or twice a year. So that's a dream that we have. We've been asking, what if we could do some non-traditional worship things outside these walls, do something in the community like a pub kind of ministry? That's another big dream. And as we've been dreaming, many of you know this, resources have been coming from far and wide to make it happen. And so what I believe is when we pray that God will show us the way, when we ask what if, and we ask God to lead us in this, powerful things are happening here, and I'm just so very proud of it. Good things are happening, and all that to say, this is Easter stuff right here. I'll always believe that the brokenness in our world does not need to be, and that the way of Jesus can cure it in our own life and broadly in the world. And what a day it will be when we see the kingdom of God come upon the earth. And we do see glimpses here and there, but just nothing like it should be at all. But what if we followers of Jesus keep watching and waiting and working toward it every little eon, little second we can? What if? What if it happened? What if the kingdom of God really came upon earth because everyone was doing the good works of the kingdom? What if? That would be some miracle. Let's pray. God of miracles, God of new life, God of Easter, God of joy, we come to you with joyful hearts knowing that miracles do happen. Lord, we give to you our pain, our shame, our guilt, our sadness, our distractions. We give to you our joys. Lord, all that we are in this moment. And we're bold enough to pray that you will come into our hearts, our church, our lives, our home, our friendships, our marriages, all of that once more. We pray for wholeness and we trust for wholeness as we work for your kingdom and find miracles in our life and in our world every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.